الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي دوشي بالله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Kaaba was built in the most simplest of forms. A very simple structure, a simple building of four walls. In fact, it was so simple that it had no covering from the top. There was no roof at all. And it was exposed. And the height of the walls was something just slightly greater than the height of a man. No mortar, no adhesive, no cement, no plaster, no nothing. Just a simple structure of stone upon stone, stone upon stone, stone upon stone. This was the Kaaba in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something very, very simple. Let us not forget that the Kaaba is the oldest building, the oldest structure, the foundation that was first laid on the surface of this earth by the angels. And alhamdulillah, throughout time, Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam have put a service to the building of Kaaba, and also great pious people, the Khulafa. Now, the construction that had taken place in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was quite unique. Why? Like how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu was salam had taken part in the building of the Kaaba just before Nabuwat. The Qurayshi people decided to give the Kaaba a complete new look, a new face, to rebuild everything, all the walls from scratch. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was young at that time, before Nabuwat, and Huzur alayhi salatu was salam played a fundamental role in the building of Kaaba. That is why the ulama say that this construction of the Kaaba by the Quraysh and Huzur alayhi salatu was salam being there is quite unique as compared to looking into the history of the Kaaba and Masjid al-Haram that was built from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. The reason why the Qurayshi people decided to build the Kaaba, that an incident had taken place. Now even today when you go to Haram, you get a lot of people who say that Kaaba hamare samne hai, I'm not lying. As I was walking, someone came, pickpocket, someone stole my passport, someone stole my wallet, and I am in front of the house of Allah, I'm not lying to you, I have no money. Please help me and support me financially. Now that is a very sensitive standing of both. The one who is asking also, and the one who is also listening. In the hadith it comes that when someone asks you in the name of Allah, ke bhai Allah ke liye ye de do ya kar do, then the adab is that because he has taken a great name in front of you, then you should carry it out according to the ability, according to the power that you have. But you get all sorts of people today, even in the haram. Some who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they are not in the blessed zones, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabwi, Baytul Muqaddas, they could be anywhere, but they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some, the level of iman is so low that they could be in Masjid al-Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will lie and they will go as low as stealing. Wallahu a'lam. An event had taken place in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What the Qurayshi people would do is that if any king, Muslim king, was to donate a gift, gold, money, any item, then that would be put into the treasury of the city of Makkah, and the treasury was inside the Kaaba. The safe was inside the Kaaba. All the money that was given as a gift towards the maintenance of the Kaaba, towards Masjid al-Haram, then those who were the keepers, the Qurayshi people of Masjid al-Haram, Khana Kaaba, they would keep that money, the gold, the dinars, everything inside the Kaaba. And as I said earlier on, that the wall of the Kaaba was a slightly higher than the height of a man, and there was no roof to it. Now a group of people came in from the top part of the Kaaba, and stole everything that was inside the Kaaba, all the money, all the gold, the dinars that were there towards the maintenance of the Kaaba. They took everything and left the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely empty. Now the Qurayshi people were very, very sincere. No matter how, whatever they were, mushrikeen, but there was some element of good character, quality character inside them. All of the tribes got together, they made mashwara, and they said, as it is, the walls of the Kaaba are very, very weak. It's about time we build the Kaaba, rebuilt it, a new structure, a new foundation. And all of them agreed to it, and they said, yes, we will do that. But then the event of Abraha and his army's destruction was not very, very far. They did not have the courage, no one had the courage from the Qurayshi people to go and take out the first stone from the wall of the Kaaba, fearing that if they aid or if they take part in dismantling any part of the Kaaba or even removing some of the stones that are there, possibly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them, like how Allah punished Abraha and his army. So this story, this event was fresh in their minds. So they all agreed that we have to do something about the Kaaba. But no one had the courage. They were all scared. They knew that Allah destroyed a powerful army through the means of birds carrying pebble, small stone in their beak, and they destroyed the entire army. It was Walid bin Mughira who had the courage, and he stood up and he said, no, nothing will happen to us. Why? Because our intention is sincere. We are not here to disrespect the Kaaba or break the Kaaba. We are here to strengthen the walls of Kaaba, to rebuild it again, to make the structure and the foundation strong, so nothing will happen to us. And the Qurayshi people said, well, you start doing it. Tum karo. Kehte hai na, Musalman ki army ko wahan bhej do, pehle Musalman mar jaye. You do it. Walid bin Mughira was a brave man. He stood up and he says, yes, I will do it. And slowly all of them were there behind him, looking at him to see if anything would happen to him. And he slowly started taking out one by one the stone of the Kaaba wall. And they saw that nothing happened to him. And only then the rest of the Qurayshi people joined in, and slowly they helped Walid bin Mughira in bringing down the wall of the Kaaba. So this, mashallah, construction had taken place in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Muhaddiseen have written, and the Mu'arrikheen, that a pledge was taken by all the leaders of the Quraysh at that time, that every money that they are to spend in the maintenance of the Kaaba, in the building of the new Kaaba, new construction, only halal money, halal source of income, every dirham and dinar that is purely halal should be used in the maintenance and in the building of this Kaaba. And everyone agreed to it, they made an oath, they took bay'ah on that. And the classic example of that is the hatim that we see today. Big ha, toy, ya and meem, the hatim. Classic example. And the hatim is the semicircle that you see. If you are standing absolutely in front of the door of the Kaaba, then it is on your right hand section. You have the Maqam Ibrahim here, you have the door there, you have the Hajar al-Aswad there, and the Hatim is exactly on the right hand section. It is a semicircle. Now, the walls of the Hatim are not as high raised up as the walls of the Kaaba, but it is part of the Kaaba. And to understand the Hatim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, the first lady to memorize the entire Quran in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Abdullah bin Idris was in his room and he was about to die. And the daughter came to him and she started weeping and crying. And she said, "Father, you are leaving us today." And she started to cry. Abdullah bin Idris said to the daughter, "Daughter, why do you weep? Don't you know that your father has completed 4,000 times the Quran in this room where the ruh will come out?" Kitni martaba? 4,000 martaba. 4,000 times I have completed the Quran just in this room where my ruh will come out. So should you cry? Hazrat Aisha, people question the Muslims, that don't you think Hazrat Aisha was very, very young to marry Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam? That is the question they put forward to the Muslimin. Then the question we should put forward to them is that how old was Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam when she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam? How old was she? And believe me, you my respected brothers, I have asked this question to the most learned priest of Leicester, who boasts that he is in command, that he educates other scholars under him, a great teacher. And I said to him, "Do you know what age Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam was when she gave birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam?" And he said, "You know, that has never ever come to my mind." Well, she was extremely young. According to some of the sources, she was as young as 13 and 14 and she gave birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. So how can one question Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala? Physically, the women were different at that time. The culture was very different. The food was different. The people of the desert were different. Their thinking was different. They were mature, well mature. A girl who was 7 years of age in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was completely different physically, mentally, in every way as compared to a girl or to a child who is 7 years of age now. There is no comparison. Can you compare the people of Qawm-e-Aad and Qawm-e-Thamud to us? Can you compare the age of Adam alayhi salam, who lived for 1,000 years? And in that time, people would become baligh when they were 350 years of age. When they were 350, they would become baligh. So can you compare, chronologically speaking, as we go back towards the early days, how can you compare the culture, the food, everything is different. Abhi Hindustan mein aap chale jao, to hamari jo buriya hoti hai na, they don't wear spectacles, they don't wear chashma. 60, 70, 90 years of age, ladies, men, old men and women, go to India now, they don't even know what are spectacles. They don't even know. The eyes are sharp at that age. But today a child is born so weak that he's on insulin, diabetes. Everything is different. So you can't compare. So it is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, whose level of thinking was so high and so powerful, that she questioned Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, Ya Rasulullah, is the Hatim part of the Kaaba? To that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam said, yes. Ye Hatim Kaaba ka ek hissa hai. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, if it is part of the Kaaba, then why haven't the Qurayshi people incorporated the wall structure of the Hatim with the walls of the Kaaba? And Huzur alayhi salatu was salam said to her, O Aisha, the tribe, the Qurayshi people at that time were doubting the source of their income, their money. They had no other means of halal income and they had to stop there. That is why the walls of the Hatim are much shorter than the Kaaba. Because they ran out of money. And they were so sincere in that. Even if they had a doubt of one dirham, they would not put into that. This is how sincere the Qurayshi people were at that time. And perhaps this is, again, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that so many of us have this desire to read Salat inside the Kaaba.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah.
But will King Fahd allow every one of us to go into the Kaaba and read Salat? No. You have to go through great difficulty to get visa. And Musa, I wanted to go this week, but they said no to him, you have to go next week. So who has this opportunity to go and read Salat inside the Kaaba? No one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful one. He has left one section of the Kaaba exposed, that if you perform Salah in the Hatim, that is tantamount to performing Salah inside the Kaaba.
SubhanAllah.
But one masla brothers must remember here, that not the entire Hatim is designated as being part of the Kaaba. It is only the first 3 meters. Only the first 3 meters. So if you have the wall of Kaaba here, and the Hatim starts here, it is the first 3 meters. So you have a better chance of performing Salat inside the Kaaba if you are close to the wall of Kaaba. The more back you are, there is a possibility that you are out of the Kaaba. Because that section, though when we do Tawaf, we go on the outskirts, outside the Hatim, but the Hatim is quite big. And the Hujra Ismail is also now inside the Hatim. Hujra Ismail is the house of Ismail alayhi salam and the house of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. That when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came to Makkah, he built a small hut for his son and his wife, and that structure, that hut, that chamber is now inside the Hatim. Is now inside the Hatim. So if you are praying Salat right at the back of the Hatim, you are actually praying inside that house that was built by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for his wife Hazrat Hajar and for his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So if you want to perform Salat inside, you're better off being in the first row close to the wall of Kaaba. So this is the history of Hatim, and this is how sincere the Qurayshi people were. And this is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the merciful one, so that people can go in and out of that zone and they will feel satisfied that they have at least achieved some barakah, some form of barakah by praying inside the hateen. So the hateen is part of the Kaaba, especially the first 3 meters. Now slowly, mashallah, when all the tribes were building the walls of the Kaaba, when it was about to be completed, another difficulty that was there for the people of Quraysh was who will be that individual to put or to restore the black stone back to its spot. Now each of the tribes wanted that honor, that we will do it, we will do it. And in doing so, an argument flared out, a civil war could have broken out just in this little argument that was there. Now these people, for the Arabs to take out the sword was something very, very easy. And at that time, Abu Umayyah al-Makhzumi, he was a senior person and he gave mashwira. He said, look, we are building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us not argue. And he gave an idea, he said, tomorrow early in the morning, the first individual to enter from this gate of the haram, he will have the say to whatever he decides with Hajar al-Aswad. And subhanallah, the very next morning, the very first great individual to enter from that gate was none other than Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this was before Nabuwat. Now when the Qurayshi tribe saw that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has entered from this gate, everyone was so happy. And they said, Hada Muhammad al-Amin. This is Muhammad al-Amin, Muhammad al-Amin. Yes, no doubt. We all agree that he has the full power, that whatever he decides, we agree to it. Muhammad al-Amin, Muhammad the most trustworthy, Muhammad the most trustworthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, subhanallah. What a great prophet he was, that he dissolved that difficulty, that confusion, that argument that was there, which was enough to erupt a civil war between the tribes, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dissolved it within minutes. Look at the strategy of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the planning of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that, go and get for me a cloak. And some of the people went, or Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke liye chadar lai. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put that cloak on the ground and he put the black stone in the middle and he said, now I want all the leaders of the tribe to cling on to one part of that cloak and lift it up. So everyone felt that we have taken part in putting and replacing back the black stone on it. For everyone in the history is content. Every tribe will say, oh, we were there, we were there, we were there. One stone, that how many people are holding it? Every single individual. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who was in command. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided the black stone towards the wall of the Kaaba. And as they came closer to the wall of Kaaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now I want all of you to stand still. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in front and he himself picked up the black stone, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this honor and he took it for himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the black stone with his own hands in that right spot. And subhanallah, every single Arab there, Qurayshi tribe, was happy with that. No problem with that, subhanallah. This is the strategy of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that in this construction of the Kaaba, major changes had taken place. MashaAllah. Because this is what the shaitan does, that when the words of Allah come, when the words of Rasulullah come, we start to yawn. 100 ideas and pictures, a reel of films are playing in the mind. This is what we will do. Maulana finishes now quickly. I can do that. Before Isha, I can do that. I'll do this. I'll do that. This is the shaitan. Allahu Akbar. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Otherwise they can be sitting but the mind is somewhere else. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Subhanallah. In this construction of the Kaaba, major changes were done to the Kaaba. It is said, first of all, the door of the Kaaba was lifted up. Until today we see the door of the Kaaba. Before, the door of the Kaaba was level to the ground. What the Quraishi people did is that they did not want every single individual just to easily enter the Kaaba, but power was with them that they will only allow those who they wish to enter the Kaaba. So the door was lifted up slightly. Originally, the height of the wall was 4 meters. Kitne meters? 4 meters. Now this construction that had taken place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the height of the wall was 8 meters. And the door of the Kaaba was on top, slightly on top. And another major change to the Kaaba was that now for the first time in history, a roof was put on top of the Kaaba. And according to some of the sources and findings in the books of history, it is said that there was this man who was a businessman, and he had a ship. His ship wrecked off from the coast of Jeddah, smashed into the rocky coast of Jeddah, and from his ship there was this flat piece of strong wood, flat piece of strong wood that was not damaged. When the Arabs found this, they took it to the city of Makkah and they said that this flat piece of wood is just the right material for us to build the roof of the Kaaba. And they took that from Jeddah to Makkah and they put that on the walls of the Kaaba, making it a flat roof. And now for the first time everything was sealed. So the walls are lifted up, the door slightly on top from the ground, and also now you have a new roof to it. Another major change was now, because of the roof being there, there was another tube outlet put there from the top, so that whenever it would rain, water would not accumulate on the roof of the Kaaba, water would come out from that outlet. Mm-hmm. Today that outlet is, mashallah, a very in that modern material of gold casing, if you've seen it. And in the Urdu language, we know it as Mizab-e-Rahmat. Mizab-e-Rahmat. So that when it rains, you will see that a lot of people will go inside the Hatim and they will make dua, and that rain that has touched the roof of the Kaaba, and then when it comes down and if it touches you, there have been incidents of those who were ill when that rainwater came down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cured them. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best. But nevertheless, a lot of people are there standing and making dua, and there is every possibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful one, that Allah will accept their dua. But now if you notice that when you look at the Mizab-e-Rahmat that is there now, the gold casing, on top of the gold casing you have a lot of spikes that are there. Have you seen that? Keel ki tarah, not nail, like something very sharp. And why is that there? Pigeons, to stop the birds or anything like that, to sit on top. But you will notice that when in the haram, you will hardly see any of the birds sitting on the structure, on the Kaaba itself. Always it will be around. And some of the ulamas have said that they even see some of the birds going around the Kaaba as if they were doing the tawaf of the Kaaba. Wallahu alam. So this was major changes that had taken place in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this building of the Kaaba was quite unique. Why? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself took part in it with the 4 to 5 changes that I had just explained to you now. Another important aspect of Haram Sharif, what we have to understand, is the area, the zone of Multazim. A lot of brothers don't know where Multazim is. قلت لك. We know Hajar al-Aswad, we know the door of Kaaba, we know Hatim, we know Rukn al-Yamani. But Multazim is about 2 meters wide, from Hajar al-Aswad to the door of Kaaba. A very, very important spot. One should try his utmost best to get there, because it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about him that he would put his cheeks to the wall of the Kaaba with his hand and with his chest touching the wall of Kaaba, and he would make dua in that manner. And he would say to the companions that I have seen Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam make dua like this. So it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is extremely important. We should not forget that when we go there, Multazim is one area. The ulama say that around that area of where the door of Kaaba is and Hajar al-Aswad is and Multazim is, there are many, many angels that are there. So when you do dua, the angels even say ameen to your dua.
MashaAllah.
This is an opportunity that one should never ever miss. The great Mufassir, Hazrat Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi. I said something about Hazrat Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi today in Jummah. Do brothers remember? Brothers remember? No? No, chalo. Bhai, meri baat hi aisi hogi. Kamzor aadmi ho. Hazrat Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi is that great Buzruk who would complete one entire Quran from Maghrib to Isha. One entire Quran from Maghrib to Isha. That was his karamat, this was his ma'mool. That is his karamat and that is his ma'mool. One Quran from Maghrib to Isha. Subhanallah. And he says, Hazrat Mujahid Rahmatullah Alayhi says that anyone who goes there and makes dua, for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua. So this is the Multazim. Another important section of the Kaaba is Rukne Yamani. Now that corner, from all the four corners of the Kaaba, of course the Kaaba in its entirety of the entire zone, mashallah, is full of barakat, blessed. But the corners, the most precious corners of the Kaaba is Rukne Yamani and Hajarul Aswad. Why? Because Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done something physically to every part of that corner. According to some of the muhaddithin, it is sunnah that when you pass Rukne Yamani, just to touch it. And this is what Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi holds the opinion, that when you go, you just touch it. Istilam ki zarurat nahi, you just touch it. And when you go past Hajarul Aswad, you make istilam, or otherwise you go close to it and you can kiss it. And the reason for that is that throughout the history of Kaaba, every single individual has taken every care to make sure that this side of the Kaaba is in the exact line and exact foundation when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam and Ismail alayhi salatu was salam had built the Kaaba, and the hukm was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was witnessed by Hazrat Jibreel. I mean, that is why Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was very, very careful when it came to this corner of Rukne Yamani and Hajarul Aswad. Why this corner was known as Rukne Yamani? Because this corner, if you go straight ahead, you will go to Yemen. Where will you go to? Yemen. So this corner is known as Rukne Yamani. Yemen ka kinara. Yemen is straight ahead this way. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would go from Rukne Yamani to Hajarul Aswad, the very famous dua of Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Inshallah, in the next session we will continue on this topic. And in this session we were to start the history of what is inside the Kaaba. Inshallah, in the next session, inshallah, we will finish that. Allah Pak har Musalman ko tawfiq de, ki aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki sunnat ke upar chale. I always say that in the times that we live in, it is farz upon the Muslims today that we make dua for our brothers, especially brothers in Iraq. The least we can do is make dua for them. Brothers in Iraq and brothers in Philistine. these two Muslim countries, please, all the time, 2-3 minutes in your dua, let us not forget our Iraqi brothers and our Palestinian brothers. The zulm and atrocity that is being committed there by Ariel Sharon's regime, the Fir'aun that is there today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the Muslims.
Ameen.
Inshallah, if we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will surely descend. Hadith, durushay palle. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, hamari dua ko kabul farma. Ya Allah, hamari dua ko kabul farma. Ya Allah, jo kuch humne suna hai, Ya Allah, usko kabul kar le. Jo bola hai, Ya Allah, usko kabul kar le. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, sagira guna ko maaf farma, kabira guna ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, gunaho ki nafrat dil mein aa jaye. Ya Allah, hamare dil ko paak kar de. Ya Allah, hamare dil ko paak kar de. Ya Allah, hum muttaqi ban jaye. Ya Allah, hum muttaqi ban jaye. Ya Allah, hum aabid ban jaye. Hum aalim ban jaye. Hum hafiz Quran ban jaye. Ya Allah, hum muqarribin mein se ban jaye. Ya Allah, hum un bandon mein se ban jaye. Ya Allah, jin ke liye na koi khauf hai na koi gham hai. La khaufun alaihim wa lahum yahzanun. Ya Allah, teri khaas rahmat hamare upar ho. Ya Allah, teri tawajjuh hamare upar ho. Is majlis mein, mehfil mein koi bimar ho, Ya Allah, unko tu shifa de. Masturat bimar ho, Ya Allah, unko shifa de. Kisi ki koi zarurat ho, hajat ho, Ya Allah, ghaib se, Ya Allah, uska tu intizam kar de. Ya Allah, maa baap ko aulaad ki koi pareshani ho, Ya Allah, us pareshani ko dur farma. Ya Allah, shaadi mein koi takleef ho, Ya Allah, to us takleef ko dur farma. Ya Rahman, hospital ke andar musalman bimar hai, Ya Allah, unko shifa de. Jin logon ne duaon mein yaad rakhne ke liye kaha hai, Ya Allah, unki duaon ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Filistin ke musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Filistin ke musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, Filistin ke musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, Iraq ke musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Aalam mein jahan kahin bhi musalman pareshan hal hai, Ya Allah, unki pareshani ko dur farma. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, tu hamari duaon ko qabool farma. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.